Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren and Dawning.
It's time for you to feel a little bit better at the end of your week. I'm sure something or someone has made you mad. It's time for you to put them on the list. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. The best one will receive a pair of season tickets to MTSU's upcoming football season for all their games down in Murfreesboro at Floyd Stadium. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick will have a preview also a little bit later this hour as well, and four questions in the final hour. Willie, do you want to start or you want me to start?
I don't have a particularly inspiring one today, but this is one that I thought of. Darren, the list today would be one of the... You ever come across the guy? I feel like I like to explore lots of different kinds of music. Like, I have a pretty deep library, pretty wide range, going back a ways, try to keep up with the new stuff. But you ever run into these people? Maybe it's an East Nashville thing. There's a lot of people in the music business over there. But you ever run across the arrogant music lover that, like, if it's a song that you've heard of, it can't be a really cool song?
Oh, geez. Who in the world could that be? No, we've never been around anybody like that, Braden Gull. I mean, really?
Well, let's see where I'm going.
I mean, have you ever spent more than 2 seconds around Braden Gall about music?
He is an Eastsider, but I'm not naming him specifically or anybody.
Well, no, you just did.
You named him.
No, that description was
right.
Him.
But like, he's not alone.
Anything that more than three people like, heaven forbid.
And they make you feel bad for liking the popular song or, you know, like a classic song. Wait a minute. Like, if it's playing in your car, Madonna or Rolling Stones.
So let me make
Stones.
This clear. You're putting Braden on the list.
I'm not putting Braden on the
you
list.
You are.
I'm putting,
you just described Braden.
I didn't know Braden was really like that.
No, the dude's a massive music snob.
He's a snob.
Yeah.
Julian,
how have
you not known this about
Braden? I've
never
done a show with
Braden.
Have
you been around him than 3 seconds?
Yeah.
3 seconds.
Seriously, like next time you see him, next time you guys are changing over when he's in here, just like bring up some sort of trendy band, he'll just tear you apart.
I've got an example. Do you not remember him going off recently about the 80s being crap? Like nothing good happened
in
the 80s?
No, we
and
have
me
that.
And
yeah.
You sat here for 5 minutes and roasted him about all the Hall of Fame bands that started in the 80s.
Right, but
we
that's
crushed
just
him.
And I'm not singling out Braden, but this type of person.
No, you are.
Will
you,
scoff.
You just described him.
At Hall of Fame bands. And just because they are, you know, I don't know if it's commercialized or, you know, they might play your song on a pop station. That's a disqualifier. All right, only if you have not heard of this band can it be a cool
can
band.
Can it be discussed?
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like I try to keep up with those bands.
Yeah.
But those people.
So Willie Donick has put Braden Gall.
You just made the list.
Yep. Fine with me.
There you go.
This was not supposed to be about Braden.
Oh, but believe me, there are people.
But if the shoe fits.
Oh.
It fits.
Might want to know the people you work with. I mean, just spend like 3 seconds.
Maybe he could put me on the list for not knowing he was like that.
You do not remember that conversation when we had the show
the
exchange?
The 80s versus 90s.
The
80s
versus the 90s. We destroyed him. We're like, this band started in the 80s. This band started in the 80s. Those are Hall of Fame bands. They started in the 80s. And you acted like that decade was crap. You don't remember that?
But people like that, though, the extreme is they don't even acknowledge the greatness of those bands. If you have commercial success, it cannot be a cool band. It's
so
got to be this
once
under-
again, Willie Donick has put Braden Gall.
You just made the list.
By the way, a late entry from Jared Stillman, who popped his head in here during the break. He would like to put Ryan Porth, our program director.
You just made the list.
2 weeks
list.
In a row.
That's 2 weeks in a row for Porth. A listener last week, and now Stillman is putting him on. So 2 weeks in a row for the PD on the list.
Is Jared upset about Feinbaum not being on for all 4 hours on an 94.9 game too as well?
That's how Forth got on the list last week. A caller was very upset that I believe it was Fitz and Spain, right, that was on instead
Spain
of
Spain and Fitz.
Spain and Fitz.
Or Fritz and Spain.
I was going to say, that's better than the last time I referenced that show.
You flip-flopped some names earlier this week on that.
But he was mad that Feinbaum, the 5 o'clock hour, wasn't on 94.9 game two. So Porth getting on 2 weeks in a row. Jared said that this really should probably tell Jared all he needs to know about the relationship that he has with Ryan. They talked a lot yesterday. They were around each other a lot yesterday. And Ryan never referenced, even though Jared told him he was going to the Sounds game last night, Porth never acknowledged that he was going, and Jared runs into him at the game. Ooh, that may tell you all you need to know about your relationship.
That can get sticky.
Like, there's a reason maybe he didn't tell you. Maybe he didn't want to see you at the game.
Oh, going to the game, huh?
Oh, that's right. I forgot you did tell me for 30 minutes. You
maybe
were going
it was
to the
a
game
last minute decision, and it just slipped his mind that Jared would be there.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I find that one hard to believe. So Porth getting on 2 weeks in a row. All right, before we get to the phone calls, 615-737-1025. Who or what is on your list? I am going to put Marlins pitcher Jose Urena on the list and Major League Baseball.
Urena.
Actually, I'm going to
Urena.
Whatever.
Urena.
I've got another name for him, but I can't use it on the air. I'm going to actually put Major League Baseball on the list because they had an opportunity to send a message to this knucklehead and say, you're not going to do this stuff, okay? You can't.
They did.
Six games for a pitcher?
What is that, one start?
That's one start. That is not sending a message.
That's the right.
No, it's not.
The right punishment.
No, it's not.
Sure
no,
it
it's
is.
Not.
Is he a repeat offender?
Yes. Yeah, he beams people a lot.
Has he ever been suspended before?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
Did he hit Acuna on purpose?
Acuna.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
The tilde, man. The tilde over the end.
Whatever.
Makes a yes sound.
Did you take Spanish in high school?
Clearly yes. Not.
No, I did. I didn't like my teacher. I took Spanish and French.
You going to put him on the list?
I didn't like my teacher. I'm just saying.
Six games is appropriate.
No, it's not.
Acuna's not hurt.
Oh, so it's okay because he's okay?
I do think that.
What if
has
he was lost for the season?
Well, then that might change things.
What if he was out for a month?
He's not.
Changes the whole complexion of the Braves season.
Missed the rest of that game.
So you're okay
back in there last night.
You're okay with just a start. That's not sending a message.
That's the right message.
No. Major League Baseball.
You just made the
list. I mean, if they really want to send a message, they make him keep playing for the Marlins.
Keep playing like every game.
Yeah,
like
he has to
believe me,
every game.
Teams, if you look at his stats, people don't mind facing him.
When he's not pitching, he has to play in the field. Like that, they should do like the Browns.
Yeah, like I don't think he's going to be upset not to be at the ballpark for six nights with that team.
Right, you don't get to take four nights off from this team. So
yeah, especially
you play every night.
If they go like on a road trip, like, oh, I'll stay here in Miami. Cool, you guys have fun going wherever you go.
That was not good. All right, let's get to your phone calls. Tell us who or what is on your list. 615-737-1025. Tristan in Hendersonville. Tristan, who or what is on your list?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is who's on my list, and it's a group of collective people. Lily, I know you're out of a job for 12 games this season, but seriously, to everybody complaining that we have national coverage, shut up! Because I'm sick of it. I'm literally sick of every Preds fan going, NBC doesn't cover us. We don't get national coverage. We just got it. Why are we complaining?
I got to be honest, Tristan.
It's good. That's good.
Yeah. Honestly, if we're being full disclosure, as much as I would like for Willie to be able to work his 82 games, you're exactly right. Because for years we fielded those calls. Why doesn't NBC get the Predators in love? They don't ever get any national games. Now you get the full boat, as most as you can get, and it's we don't want the national games. What do you want then?
I think my first year on TV, I think we did 81 out of the 82.
Right,
and people
complain.
We never get the national.
They never get the Predators any love.
So now
they're giving
them
tons of love, and Tristan is right. It's Oh, my gosh, 12 national games.
And don't get me started on people. If we have A.J. Molesko in there, I am a big supporter of her. So if you complain about A.J. Molesko, you're going to hear from me because I'm sorry. There needs to be women in hockey like yesterday. And if you want to complain about her, stop it, please.
Oh, okay. You are the leader in the clubhouse.
Get
Tristan.
This guy down. Yeah, contender.
He's a contender. He is the leader in the clubhouse.
Unfortunately, like he cannot. He's not eligible to win.
Oh, he just won last 30
days?
He's
about to pick up some Def Leppard tickets. But it is interesting how Preds fans get upset about the national broadcast. I know Jeremy Roenick will do something or say something that's not completely homer for the Preds, and these people will lose their absolute minds, which is just...
It's par for the course with every sport. We had Richard Deitch on. Yesterday, I listened to his podcast. He had John Smoltz on. John Smoltz talked about that very thing. Every national broadcast in every sport deals with that. You get a lot of feedback coming back to you.
It's virtually impossible to escape
it. He doesn't want our team to win.
Yeah. It's the worst in baseball. Because you just think about who Joe Buck's father was. And everyone's used to listen, especially with, you know, because it's different, I think, with the NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball, where you have your hometown broadcasters, then you go to the playoffs and you have completely national people. It seems like it's the worst in baseball with Joe Buck. People just hate him.
Let's go down to the borough. Nate, who or what is on your list?
On my list this week are people who leave shopping carts in car parking spaces and or right up against the cart pen. These people leave a shopping cart in between cars thinking that it's okay and that no one's going to hit it.
Yeah, get off these guys.
In actuality, someone may not see the cart because they don't expect it to be there and either scratch up or ding their cars because of this inconsiderate person.
Preach, Nate. Preach.
I'm with you.
Keep going.
And the people who leave the shopping cart right up against the shopping cart pen are just lazy.
Yeah.
Take the cart around.
Get on these
the
guys. Keep going.
Pen and push it in.
Push
it's
it
not
in.
Hard.
Takes 2 seconds.
Think and about if, how hey, I, lazy you are. That there is a corral out, and you put the cart next to the corral. Like, how incredibly lazy and inconsiderate you are. Just think about that. People who do that.
If I need to come out and demonstrate how simple this is, give me a call.
You just made the list.
Well done, Nate.
But how often do you see it where you walk up to the corral?
It's amazing.
And it's not just the last guy. It's like it's obviously the last 7 or 8 people because none of them are jammed in there. It's kind of fun to jam them all in, right?
It's racing fun. It up to the corral,
yeah,
just swinging it
all
in
together.
There.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want that feeling?
I'm with you completely. Look, we are in a time where now every parking lot has the corrals, okay? If there are shopping carts, they have corrals. Don't be lazy and leave them in between the parking spaces.
Well,
don't
that's the worst.
Don't put it next to the corral.
And don't
put it up on like a little island,
yeah,
like a little grass
the
island.
Under the little tree that
don't
they planted.
They got a little tree and a little grass island.
Just because
don't put it up there.
Yeah, just because you wheel it up on the curb on the little island with the mulch. That's not getting the job
done.
That's
freaking lazy and disrespectful. Come on. You're better than that. You know who you are. You're better than that. Josh in Clarksville, who or what is on your list?
Well, I have to say, first off, I completely agree with you. That stuff with the carts absolutely boils my blood. But who is on my list is the Tennessee Titans.
You just made the list.
Oh, boy.
And the reason why I'll say this is, pre-game, before you go to a game at Titan Stadium, they'll try to have something to get fan engagement, and it's completely subpar. It's like they're not even trying. I mean, you cannot tell me that an NFL franchise that makes probably at least twice the money that the NHL franchise makes in town cannot afford to get someone at the building to draw fans to the building. That's the reason why they got to have Dustin Lynch and other people trying to sell season tickets every 6 minutes on Channel 4 because they can't get people to the building because who wants to see insert D-list country music artist's name here in the doggone parking lot before the game? Come on, man. You got the money. You got to spend money to make money. And that's why the Tennessee Titans are on my list.
You're not going because they are giving away a keychain this Saturday with sponsored by Pinnacle. That's not a good hook for you? No?
No, actually, considering the fact that I could probably get one of those out of one of those little 50-cent machines at a laundromat, most likely. So, no, not really.
Josh, you brought it. Good stuff. I love this first segment of You Just Made the List. People are bringing it. Let's go another round. Let's do one more segment.
Let's do it.
Come on. Bring the passion. I love it today. People are fired up. 737-1025. More of You Just Made the List next on 1025 The Game.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun.
Willie, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to put you to work. It's just got to happen. We went to the break and everybody fell off. So we gotta. This is about participation, man. If we're gonna do, You Just Made the List. We great segment, great calls. Let's keep it going. What are we doing?
Okay.
So I need you. I need you to get to work and get these people back on hold. Let's get this thing going. Participation segment.
It is a participation segment. And therefore, we got to give out the phone number, 737-1025. Who's on the list? We had a really good first segment. What's the prize again today?
Season tickets to MTSU.
Season tickets! Can we get a shout-out from Murfreesboro? Season tickets!
Well, we did. Nate called in from the borough.
Yeah.
He did. Let's get some more.
737-1025. Just got to call and say who's on your list.
Who or what?
You and Julian are on my list because I think it took you guys a long time to get up to speed with just the special story of the Sounds and the A's right now.
What? I'm not up on it either.
I knew their winning streak just like you did. I get an email every day from them telling me what they're doing.
I came in. I was fired up. I'm like, can you? But look at this. Look at the A's. Look at the Sounds. You know how many former Sounds are on the A's right now? 15.
I don't.
15 out of the 25 are former Sounds. Lowest payroll in baseball. The Astros and A's play a series starting tonight. A's are two games behind the defending champion. Lowest payroll in baseball. Lowest.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice story. I grant you.
You love baseball. I didn't get the love. I didn't feel the love. And meanwhile, the Sounds are winning. 10 in a row. Hey, you know, this, hey Darren, the Sounds have won 9 in a row. All right.
It's worth
10 in a row.
We've mentioned it.
11
we talked
in
about
a row.
It. What do you want us to do, Willie? Break down their game against,
Pep Rally.
Round Rock? I mean, what do you want to do?
Pep Rally.
Are they still winning?
No, they lost the last time.
Okay, so now we don't have to. So we can stop talking about this thing.
I mean.
No, I want to still talk about it.
I'm being serious.
What is there to talk about?
We mentioned it. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to do trivia about their roster?
Yeah.
Like, where's this guy from? Where did he play in college?
This is me howling at the moon.
Howl at the Moon was a fun piano bar.
Chain, though.
Okay. What does that mean? Is that bad? Chain bad?
It's not the same.
See, I'm not an A's fan, but I've always appreciated the Oakland A's fans because there's not one person that goes to the Oakland Coliseum for the park.
That enjoys it.
No, for the park, because you talk about no amenities,
or
no
enjoys
nothing.
It.
No, but they love that they love baseball.
They do. I've been to A's games.
You would
games.
Have to. They no. love baseball or something. I don't know what it is.
It's a shame. You remember when I came back from Northern California, I saw Sonny Gray against R.A. Dickey, Blue Jays, A's.
Yeah.
It was great. And their fans were great. And I said, it's a shame. Like,
the fans that are there are awesome.
Like they have, right. The fans that are there are into it. It's loud. It's festive. It's vibrant. It's just a shame that they play in this just cement crap hole.
How long is it to drive to Portland? They can stay fans, go up to Portland and watch the team play a few years.
It's just I really admire the Rays and the A's and how, A, they stay competitive on the diamond, and, B, the fans that do go to those places, because those are head and shoulders the two worst places to go watch a game.
Yep. Let's go to Curtis in Brentwood. Curtis, who or what is on your list?
My list is Jared Stillman and Marcus Mariota.
You just made the list.
Okay, why?
I'm pretty sure Marcus Mariota may have photos of Jared because I have never seen anyone who is so blind. If Marcus Mariota makes a mistake, he pretends it didn't happen and only talks about everything he has done right ever. And it is just entertaining to watch him in the GM, and he'll say something, and the GM would be like, yeah, but before that he did this, and then Jared would be like, well, let's just go to a cop. And it's just hilarious.
You think there's a little bit of maybe he may be smitten by Mariota?
Oh, yeah. I don't – either that or, like I said, there's some photos that he doesn't want out that Marcus has. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
He is wearing a Mariota jersey today.
See? I'm telling
you. A new one or with the sword?
He's got a new one on today. He had the sword on yesterday. So you may be onto something, Curtis.
Yeah.
I've kind of noticed that too. So you think Jared is a little bit smitten with Mariota?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely something there.
Yeah.
He
falls in and out of love a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that.
That is true, but never with Marcus. Never. He would never say anything bad. I think he could literally walk up and smack Jared, and Jared would be like, yeah, that was my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Floyd's in that category too. He's never fallen out of love with Floyd, and Floyd is a great guy. But I remember a time when Jared was smitten by old the Wizinator, old Kenny Wizenhut. I said, Jared, you might want to reassess him. He's not a very good coach. By the way, if I were the Chargers, I would let him coach the first game of the season.
Guaranteed win.
Yeah, it's just the other 15 he has the problem with. It's not opening day. Like, he's got the first game down. It's the other 15 games. So if the Chargers want to get off to a good start, I would let the Wizinator take over game one and then send him back to the coordinator role because he's really good in opening day games. It's just the other 15 that he had, like, serious problems with. All right, we'll award a winner. Speaking of that, we will head out to Northern California. We'll get a preview. We'll find out what's going on with the Raiders.
With the A's stadium. With the A's? Oh, no, the Raiders.
Well, they'll be Las Vegas soon. We know what's going on with their stadium.
Nothing.
If they don't get something done soon, it's going to be an empty stadium. Like, no one is going to be a tenant there. Golden State's already leaving. The Raiders are leaving. It's just going to be a parking lot with two buildings and no cars. Then what? So we'll learn a little bit more about the Raiders when we come back. And fourth and final hour, we got four questions. So a lot more coming on 102.5 The Game.
Myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith.
Did you know an estimated 1.2 million people right here in the United States are living with or in remission from a blood cancer? Join ESPN The Game Nashville for Light the Night Walk at Nissan Stadium. That'll be Friday, November 2nd. You can be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2018 Light the Night Walk. For more details, or to be a part of the event, or to contribute to the ESPN Game Nashville team, visit thegamenashville.com. We are awaiting Michael Gelkin, who's going to help us with the Raiders. A little preview on them. He's with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Hopefully we'll get him on here in just a second. A very nice tweet sent to us during the break, Willie, from Finland, our friend at Sutu88. D-Mac and Willie D are the best. What a treat to be able to listen to these legends. Does that mean we're getting old? Have a great weekend, gents, and thanks for being your awesome selves. Darren and Donick, 102.5 The Game. You just made the list. Positive take.
Nice.
How about that?
By the way, Brant Snedeker, who shot the 59 yesterday, he is underway in round two at the Wyndham, even through three holes, so he's still 11 under, but his lead has been cut to one. CT Pan, I don't know much about him. He's having a really good round. He's 10 under at this point. So good luck, Brant.
By the way, we're looking forward to seeing Sutu 88 at a Preds game this year.
Yes.
In Nashville. She said she's going to come all the way over from Finland. That'll be a lot of fun. Let's head out west. Let's bring in Michael Gelkin. He covers the Raiders. He's their beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's not every day I get a chat with a couple of legends, so
yeah,
no complaints here.
I guess that means we're getting old. I think.
I don't know about that.
Michael, we were actually just talking about the A's and what they're doing and the winning streak. Of course, the Sounds here in Nashville, the AAA team, and we were like, you know, what is that parking lot? Because if you know that area, and I know you're in Las Vegas, but you have to cover the team, that parking lot that has two buildings, what is it going to look like in 5 years? Is anybody going to be there? Is it just going to be a parking lot, an empty parking lot with no cars and two structures?
That's a great question. I live in Oakland, although I cover the Raiders for an outlet based in Las Vegas, so I should know the answer to that question in terms of the future of that district, because you're right, you have the Oracle Arena, then you have the Oakland Alameda Coliseum right there next door. And I don't know, there's a lot of land to work with, which you seldom have in California when it comes to building something. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah, maybe no teams, unfortunately. Golden State moving to San Francisco, Oakland to Las Vegas, and what is the future for the A's? What is the future for Khalil Mack? Where is this going?
Well, he's under contract for the 2018 season under the fifth-year team option. The Raiders can franchise tag him next year, and although no one in the organization would want to do this, they could franchise tag him the year after. So I've felt for a while, just given the distance between the two sides and the history of Khalil Mack's agent, Joel Siegel, he's so experienced in these sorts of negotiations. He's got a comfort with slow playing deals of this magnitude. And of course, when the Khalil Mack contract eventually is done, presuming it does get done at some point over the coming years, it's expected to leave Khalil Mack as the NFL's highest paid defender in league history. So this is a huge scale deal that doesn't come around too often. But you look at what Joel Siegel did with one of his other clients, Trumaine Johnson. He got franchise tagged once with the LA Rams, and he got franchise tagged again. And then this March, he cashed in for agency, leaving the Rams for the New York Giants on a huge multi-year deal. Not saying necessarily that Joel Siegel is going to let Khalil Mack be franchise tagged multiple times. That would be jumping way too ahead. But I do think there is precedent in terms of how he negotiates, is waiting for what he feels is the best deal for his client. By the way, as a quick wrinkle to this whole thing, the Raiders are moving from the state with the highest income taxes in the country to one of the several states without any state income taxes in Nevada. That comes into effect in 2020. So theoretically, if the Raiders and Khalil Mack don't get an extension done this year and they were to get it done, say, next year, Khalil Mack could defer his signing bonus payout from 19 to 2020 and save millions of dollars in terms of lack of state income taxes.
We know all about that living in Tennessee. No state income tax here either. Interesting.
That's
not what you make. It's what you keep.
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was a travesty that the Raiders, we don't have Gruden versus Gruden in either preseason or the regular season. No Redskins Raiders this year.
That is too bad. I think this is the way the schedule comes up. Preseason, I suppose, there was an opportunity to get those two brothers together on the same field, but given the distance between, you know, just the East Coast, West Coast, you know, Raiders and Redskins, just being so, you know, far, I think it was probably just too difficult for the brothers to muster. It's only a matter of time. John Gruden's not going anywhere. 10-year contract, I'm sure it'll happen.
Okay, so what has he been like to deal with? Because rarely do we see these type of situations now. You know, sometimes they go out of sight, out of mind, and they go away, and then they come back, and that's even a more rare category. He was very, very visible. In fact, may have upped his profile being on Monday Night Football. What has he been like to deal with now that he's back into coaching?
From a media standpoint, he's been fantastic. And there's a number of layers to that. He has been extremely accessible to local media, which says something, given everybody from a national standpoint wants a piece of John Gruden. It's a huge story, him returning to an NFL sideline. And nonetheless, you see him take the time, invites the Raiders reporters to dinner one night this spring. And for press conferences, you know, he's a character. I mean, he can fill up a notebook, as we say. And so, you know, he's as seen on TV. He's as advertised. He is colorful, energetic, and on the field, he's firing, demanding. And I mean, he's John Gruden.
So what I think one of the themes, I'm sure you've written a few notebooks about it, is has he been able to keep up with the times? Is he going to be able to dive back in and be up to speed with everything? What has been the discussion there as you've observed this training camp?
I would say he has been, which I'll say it guardedly in terms of he's still somebody who honors the past. He believes in the value of the tradition of the league, tradition of the Raiders. He watches decades-old film in terms of presenting it to the team. Like, he'll show and we're talking about a two-minute drill in practice. Here's how Joe Montana did it in, you know, early 1990s. Or, you know, he'll just throw these, you know, Dan Marino, or, you know, go far back decades into, like, 70s. He'll put on these old game film, old practice film of NFL legends and show players the same technique that they're working on in practice. And you think they're too good for this? It was good enough for Jerry Rice. It's good enough for Amari Cooper type of thing. And so there is a part of him that's very much in the past. But I think overall, when you look at it, he's trying to apply it to the future. He does actually have a lot more modern technology at his fingers than people would give him credit for. He seems no less advanced than other NFL coaches I've been around, which, you know, Jack Del Rio last year, the Raiders head coach, and I covered the Chargers in San Diego for 7 years, and so North Turner and Mike McCoy. John Gruden is right there, if not above the others.
Amari Cooper is a guy we discussed a lot. You know, we watched him closely in his days as a college player, and of course he was one of those guys getting talked about a lot when the Titans had a very high first-round pick, which they used on Marcus Mariota, but there was a lot of arguments, you know, what about Amari Cooper? I looked last year, 95 passes thrown to him, only 48 that he caught. What are the ideas about now? How do you get more efficiency out of a talented player like that?
He led the NFL, certainly the start of the season. I don't know how he finished the year, but he led the NFL in drop rate. So I think that's part of the reason his target to completion percentage was a bit low relative to, say, the previous year. Drops was something was a problem that surfaced his rookie year, and a year later he corrected it, and then last year, for whatever reason, it resurfaced. So the Raiders haven't seen any sign of, you know, Amari Cooper struggling with the drops in Napa, where they held training camp. I think the key, however, moving forward, is you look at what Amari Cooper did last season. Aside from Week 17 100-yard game, he only had over 66 receiving yards once all season, and it was this 210-yard, two-touchdown explosion against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. That game, more than any other game this all season, the Raiders had Amari Cooper in the slot. And I think that's something that falls on the coaching staff. Some of it falls on Amari in terms of the routes he's running or staying healthy or, as discussed earlier, the drop. But I think it's on the coaching staff to move him around, find ways to get the most out of him. There was a real lack of just everyone being on the same page in the offensive room last season for the Raiders. There's too many chefs in the kitchen. There's too many egos at times. And I don't think offensive coordinator Todd Downing really was, as a first-year coordinator, was really able to get into a rhythm for a number of reasons behind the scenes. I think John Gruden, it's very clear with him here, whose voice is the one that's being heard. He's the one calling plays. He's the one designing things. Even though he's the head coach, his hand and fingerprints are all over this Raiders offense, and his creativity, I would expect, would translate into more Amari Cooper in the slot and perhaps more Amari Cooper production.
A lot of intriguing personalities, as you're alluding to. So how about Marshawn Lynch? How would you evaluate his season last year, and what's the best way to utilize him now, 1 year later, with the new coach?
Marshawn had a bit of an uneven season last year when you look at it. I think part of it, just getting used to working behind a new offensive line, and there were some injuries up front, and not getting into a game flow in terms of carries because the Raiders were playing from behind a lot. Defense went 10, 11 full games without an interception to start the year, which was an NFL record. No team before had gone more than six games to start a season without interception. So field position, I mean, it just, the game flow never really allowed Marshawn Lynch to get going. And then over the second half of the season, after a one-game suspension, Raiders just seemed to find that it just kind of clicked for Marshawn in terms of working behind the O-line, the shape at which he was physically, and then just being able to chew up, you know, more than just a dozen carries. He led the NFL, was tied for the NFL lead in yards per carry over the second half last season. So I think the Raiders believe that can roll forward into 2018. Whether or not it does, we'll see. But his very first carry of the preseason last Friday, a week ago today, he took a 60-yard touchdown. And so they like where he is physically, mentally. He's locked in, and so the Raiders feel good overall about Marshawn Lynch. The real question is, Doug Martin is part of this backfield now. He's going to get involved. Jalen Richard out of the backfield as a receiver. How, you know, with all the pieces in place that John Gruden really likes, is Marshawn going to be able to see 20 carries or 18 carries a game, which would help him get into a rhythm in the second half?
How do you think the atmosphere will be at the stadium as they continue to get closer and closer to actually leaving? We can all remember here in Nashville, the last year that the Oilers played in Houston, it was ugly. And, you know, they were on their way out. But what's it like in Oakland? Last year they were coming off the great year, so there was excitement about the team. It didn't go very well last year, so what about this year?
Right, you know, 6-10, a disappointment. Honestly, if you were to tell me that the Raiders were about to move, you know, this is their second to last year in Oakland. Last year, they played a full season after having just been approved to relocate to Las Vegas. I wouldn't have, based on how the stadium felt, believed it. There's something about Raiders fans, and like you, I have a point of reference too in terms of what a city feels like when it's losing a team, from being in San Diego where the Chargers were for 56 years. You know, just being in, it was a different situation because fans there weren't sure, you know, the final home game of the season, whether or not it was the last game ever in San Diego. But you could just feel it in the stands, especially in 2015 when they thought the game was going to be the last one and it ended up not being. It was just so emotional. Fans staying an hour after the game. It was so, you could just tell what it meant to the city to lose that team. There, I want to be clear, so many people here in Oakland are hurting about the idea of losing the Raiders. The inevitability of it looms. But they're still here, first off. There's John Gruden coming back. Last year, they were coming off a 12-4 year. This year, I think Gruden helps kind of rekindle that fire that may have been lost with disappointment from last season. And there's just this community, ubiquitous principle to being Raider Nation. It's not just the slogan. You go and follow the Raiders over the course of a road schedule, and they're everywhere. There's so many Raiders fans, and they're used to relocation. You know, they've been to Los Angeles and back, and Las Vegas is kind of neutral territory where there's really no sports rivalries between Bay Area or Los Angeles, deep in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is kind of everybody's playground, so it's kind of fitting for a team to play there that has fans seemingly everywhere. So there's this ride or die mentality that unless you're around it, you wouldn't believe it almost. But Raiders fans, by and large, however hurting they may be and sad to see the Raiders go, they, as much as they can be expected to, are following this team to the end.
No doubt it's a brand. Michael, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Take care.
Michael Galkin, he covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll be back to wrap up the third hour of Darren and Donick next. So young, just begun. Don't need a little. It was really interesting about what Michael Galkin said. And we should know firsthand about that. I guess it didn't really pop into my head about Vegas and California. We know California's taxes are through the roof. Vegas, no state income tax, or Nevada. And you do wonder, okay, that, by the way, that's a really smart play if that is Khalil Mack and his camp. That's what they're doing. They are basically trying to shove this thing into all of his signing bonus or guaranteed money to Nevada because that would save him millions of dollars. That's a smart play.
It's real money.
Yeah. But, you know, we talk about that all the time, and that is one of the advantages of Nashville. It's one of the advantages of Tennessee, having professional teams where you've got two here and one in Memphis, and don't think that those athletes don't think about that. They should.
I don't think for a long time the agents really did the players a service in letting them know that. I think more and more players are aware of that now than were 15 or 20 years ago, especially when Nashville was a new market. Because I do think the agent can definitely see it through his or her own lens sometimes.
Well, I believe the smart ones did. Maybe there just weren't the masses like today. Like today, they're all – like they all know, right? I mean, they know the states. There's not very many.
Right, they should know. But the players who are not economists and they don't know off the top of their head – you know,
right,
what state has
agents,
what
though.
Rate, but that's what I'm saying. So the agent may have been aware, but they knew, you know, speaking the language of their client, they might say, well, I'll get you the most money. Well, the most money that you get isn't the most money necessarily that you keep with these taxes because it's real money.
Don't think that didn't play into Ryan Ellis. Now, we also talked about and asked him about the no trade clause. Look, I understand both sides. I do. I get why a player's side would want a no-trade clause, and I understand the team, the organization side. Quite honestly, I side with the organization. I don't know why any GM, why any front office would give no-trade clauses. I made that abundantly clear this week. Why? Why would you? Especially now that you're signing 8-year deals, guaranteed, for players, man, a lot changes in 8 years. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you make things harder by giving them 8 years and a big deal and a no-trade clause? It's silly. If you're going to reward them, which is what you are with an 8-year guaranteed deal worth big bucks, that should be suffice. That should be good enough for them to say, okay. Why would you throw in a no-trade clause? Like I said, in life, a lot of things change in 8 years. A lot. And I just don't know why you would muddy the water or make things more complicated. Look, things change on the player side. Things change on the organization side. Why would you make things tougher for you? Maybe the organization goes in the tank after 4 years. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in any situation. Well, you would want out, right? Why would you want to stick around if the lay of the land looks totally different halfway through your contract? You would want to get out as fast as possible.
Well, I wonder if...
So why would you make things more difficult?
The theme of Khalil Mack and the continuing awareness of how the state you live in or the city you play in affects the taxes and how much you keep. I wonder how the Players Association feels about that. Because, as you said, it's you know, it's one thing to say, boy, I'm keeping more money in Nashville, but what if they trade me to a city where the tax rate is a lot different?
You just lost money.
Because the Predators, and I don't know if I don't know as much specifics about the Titans and how well they've been able to utilize that or how receptive players are to that. But I think it's pretty clear that the Predators have been able to sell this to a lot of their core players because they have so many, quote, bargains. It definitely is saving them. It's keeping them managing the salary cap better than a lot of teams because they have gotten people to buy into, number one, as we've talked about a lot, they've made an early commitment to these guys, so that's part of the discount. But the other discount is perhaps the player saying, yeah, maybe I could wait it out and get more, but my money goes a little further here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and you heard Ryan Ellis boldly say yesterday, enthusiastically say yesterday, yeah, I took a little bit less, but I want there to be room for all these guys to say we've got something special here.
When you talk about him wanting a no-trade clause and maybe being concerned like, okay, well, there's no state income tax here. If I get traded somewhere like another state, I lose that money. But how can you have that same mindset and then be like, you know what, I'm going to take a pay cut to keep the gang together? Because it doesn't really seem like they go hand in hand. Like, I don't want to lose this money if I get traded, but you're already losing money today by signing a lesser deal than what you could have gotten maybe this summer or if the negotiations would have lasted longer.
The way I read the room, just from our conversation with Ryan Ellis and his press conference yesterday, the bottom line is he realized that he wasn't going to get it. I think it was pretty clear that David Poile, other than Pecorine, and maybe nobody is going to get it anymore. He's the last one. Remember, he had a 7-year deal that ends, is up after this year. Maybe the reality is, and I think it's smart. Like I said, I think it's smart not to give a no-trade clause. I just think he realized reading the room and him and his agent that it wasn't going to happen. And if you really want to be here, and clearly he felt that $50 million was fair. It should be. $50 million guaranteed should not be a slap in the face for anybody. And he felt like it was fair. He said he wanted to be here. By the way, he brought up his wife, who said, hurry up and get this done. That does tend to motivate a husband, right? The new wife saying, hurry up and get this done.
I think so.
There's things behind the scenes that help push it to get done. So I think, just reading the room, why would you fight tooth and nail to try to get something that maybe your agent is telling you, look, man, they're not going to budge on this. They're not going to get it.
He's 27 now, right?
Yep.
So 8 years, 35. This is the last time he's going to make the money. I'm just thinking, if I'm an athlete, this is my chance to get paid. Just don't sell yourself short. Now, I understand like wanting to compete, but I'm also thinking, say that he stayed this year, had not signed a new contract deal, and they win the Stanley Cup. Don't you think at that point, when you've achieved the highest thing you can do in your sport, wouldn't you want to try and get as much money as possible, even if that means not staying here anymore because you would have won? You wouldn't be chasing a championship anymore?
I think it's fair to say that your mentality and Ryan Ellis' mentality may be a little different.
They're different. But I'm just thinking, as an athlete in general, especially contact sports, you only have certain shelf life you can play. And who knows what happens later on in life. Wouldn't you try to cash out as soon as possible? As much as possible when you have the chance.
There are some people that did that. And I think the contrast between this particular setting for the Predators and not that long ago, Ryan Suter and Shea Weber, remember those back-to-back summers? Mm-hmm. Boy, there was a lot of, well, hey, why don't these guys want to really commit to stay here? Remember, there was a lot of, well, Shea Weber, they matched the offer sheet, but boy, he kind of sent some signals. He wasn't sure he wanted to stay here. And think about that compared to the enthusiastic Ryan Ellis. Mm-hmm. This is where I want it to be. I took a little bit less. I want to keep this group together. We can compete for the next 10 years. Very refreshing.
I guess where I'm coming from is you want to cut the team a deal today, but what happens in the future if you deal with injuries, your play declines? Where are they going to be with you 3 years from now?
Money's guaranteed.
That's true. They could ship you off.
Jude, real quick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Listen, you're talking about a group of people who and they do themselves a bad job. Their agents do them a bad job because what was that statistic? That 4 or 5 years after these guys quit playing, 80% of them are bankrupt. I mean, gosh. I mean, why would they even care what state they're in? Because they just don't understand money. You know, even the Shaq said he wanted to go pro. He called his mama. His mother said, you can't even balance a checkbook and you want to go pro. And he was in college at that time. I just don't understand how they make all this money and they make so many ridiculous. They're broke. They end up broke. You know,
it is sad.
I don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Thank you, Jude.
It's very sad. And that's the agent's fault. It's got to be. You pay him that kind of money. It's a disservice. Period. You know, they ought to sue the agents for allowing those things to happen to them. It's just sad. They just take advantage of them. You know.
Well, they can't. They can't be their babysitter.
And a lot of them let it happen to themselves, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but look, you have to. It's a you problem. I mean, if you rifle through your money, you know, like Allen Iverson, who rifled through what $200 million or whatever, you rifle through. Vince Young rifled through all of his money. I don't know how much you can blame on the agent. Agent isn't your babysitter. Agent is there to work your deal. The agent is there for you to get paid. But after that, unless you have the agent in charge of your bank account or accounts and all of your money, and he's in charge of, or they're in charge of paying all the bills and however you've worked it out, I don't know how you can blame it on the agent. It's just a lot of it's a you problem. You don't need 4 houses or 26 cars or whatever you did to put yourself in that position. We'll come back. Final hour, 4 questions next on 102.5 The Game.